Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
B-Pod Studios.
That's an app. No one says it like they do.
What do you mean?
Well, what do you mean?
Felger and Maz.
I'm just making it up. Totally making it up.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Jagr looking to golf it out. Held in by Niskanen with five. Neal centers it. Orpik left side. Off now to Wiginla. Wrist shot. Glove save. Rush. And the Bruins win. They sweep the Pittsburgh Penguins to return to the Stanley Cup Finals.
And how fitting was that? Don't know if it would have counted or not, but Jerome Wiginla with the puck on his stick in the high slot with seconds to go in this third period. And Tuukka Rask loves that puck on the shot, labeled for the top corner.
All right, welcome into the program. That's where we were, this stage, 6 years ago. Last time the Bruins were in the Eastern Conference Final, going for a sweep. They did it, sweeping out the Pittsburgh Penguins in 2003. You heard it right there, Dave Gosher, Bob Beers with the call. So that's where we start. We start with the Bruins and going for the sweep tonight in Carolina, which you will hear on 98.5 The Sports Hub. As usual, puck drop shortly after 8 o'clock. Pregame starts at 7:30. We got a fully loaded program here with Big Jim Murray setting up in our update studio. Maz cleaning up in the Maz chair.
How good you?
Peachy, thank you so much. We got Stu and Lanny behind the glass. So, Bruins people, we're going to start with you. I'm going to start with the generic question for you, Maz, and the people of Boston. And I was just wondering how, if they go, it's their third Stanley Cup appearance in 9 years. But I really want to separate this team. It doesn't happen every day around here. You go to the Stanley Cup Finals. Kind of a big deal. So I just wanted to ask you, generically, big picture, is this a great Bruins team?
No. No, it's not a great Bruins team. Is it? It's a good Bruins team. You might even say very good. I think you can say that to a large degree in a lot of ways. They've overachieved. I give them that. Like in some ways. So, but you know, if you were to tell me, did I look at this team at any point and say, they're loaded? What a team. Wow, they're good. No, I've never done that.
In 2013, did you?
No. Well, I'll say this though, because of 2011, I thought they had the capability of making the run. So like at any point, yeah, I mean, look, you know how I felt about the 2011 team. I thought they were sneaky deep to start the year.
I mean, the Bruins are about to sweep a borderline team. And that's just being kind to the Carolina Hurricanes. They are a borderline Stanley Cup team, and they're about to sweep them. 2013, that was Crosby, Malkin, Letang, Andre Fleury, you know, that was
sure
a ultimate Stanley Cup champion. Is Kessel there yet? I don't think so.
No, I don't think he was there yet.
No, right, because you beat Kessel in the first round. But, you know, I mean, either way, you're talking about the Pittsburgh Penguins. You're talking about Crosby, Malkin. You're talking about the Penguins. You swept them. Here you're about to sweep a real tweener of a team. So, obviously, the degree of difficulty in 13 was higher. You thought they were a great team in 13, but not now. Who would you rather have? Who would you rather have, that 2013 team or this team?
This team.
Why?
Just because the resiliency and toughness more than anything else. And, I mean, look, it's obviously not that different when it comes to your stars, Bergeron, Krejci, Chara, obviously Marchand. But I think Marchand's certainly better than he was in 13.
The 2013 team had more players in its prime. And, you know, I go, look at the D. I mean, Seidenberg was banged up and Chara was a little banged up at the end of it. But Chara was in his prime, really.
Who would you rather have as a number one D pair? Chara McAvoy, the current Chara in his current state, or Chara Seidenberg?
Chara Seidenberg.
Chara McAvoy.
Chara Seidenberg. Now, again, Seidenberg, if you remember, that was the year he hurt his knee early. He wasn't quite right. But if you give me the 2011 Chara Seidenberg, it's a total no-brainer.
That's what I'm asking. Chara Seidenberg in their prime, which was 2011, 12, 13, those 3 years, or the current Chara McAvoy, what's better?
Chara Seidenberg.
I say Chara McAvoy, and it's more because of McAvoy than anything else.
I don't.
That Seidenberg pairing was really good.
Oh, they were a force. Seidenberg was a force. In 2011, I think you could argue he was their best defenseman. And I'm not saying he was. I'm saying you could argue it. But as a tandem, they were shut down. You couldn't score on them. They were ridiculously good.
How about your quote-unquote first line? That was, and again, so, you know, I'm sort of combining 11 and 13. But
yeah, well, it's the same group in essence.
2011, Krejci, Lucic, Nathan Horton. Or this first line, Marchand, Bergeron, Pastrnak.
This first line.
Not even close.
Really. Yeah, this one's better. Okay. I mean, if you were to say singularly, who's the best forward in those two, you know, comparing those two eras, if that's how you want to call it, Marchand's in the discussion.
So this Marchand, better than that Marchand or any forward they had. So I agree the first line, but you understand, then their second line, and it was really more close about 1-1A, was Bergeron Marchand.
Correct. So, your second line was better then.
Correct.
You had more depth then. You had more elite talent then.
And by the time you got to 2013, Sagan was putting up big numbers, and it was Sagan. And so you went... You know, and they had to, because Sagan crapped the bed so badly as the playoffs went on, they had to demote him. But you had Sagan skating on your, again, second line. It was Bergeron, Marchand, Sagan, till they had to bench his ass.
If we're combining 11-13, that team was better than this team. That's my opinion.
Tuukka Rask in 13 or Tuukka Rask today?
Today.
Today.
Agreed.
He was good in 13, though, up until the very end.
Tim Thomas in 2011 or Tuukka Rask today?
Thomas.
Got to wait to see how this plays out.
As of right now, Thomas, because he closed it. He closed it.
But if Rask closes this, it's like a coin flip.
Yeah, well, so that's fair. I mean, and the numbers right now are virtually identical, right? Like the save percentages, everything are pretty damn close. So, you know, but Tuukka's got to close it. I mean, that's a big deal. I'm sorry.
Claude or Cassidy?
Cassidy.
Ooh, that's close.
It's got to be Claude for now. I'm sorry. And you know how I feel about Claude.
Because back then, Claude was dynamite.
Well, I mean, look, I think he was overrated, maybe even then. And he stayed way too long. You know how I feel about Claude Julien. But he took you to two cups. I mean, I got to wait to see this guy get you there and win you one before I give him the nod, don't I?
Yeah, I don't know. I guess I should hold the... He should get the nod for the hardware. I just found him to be such a boob.
I mean, but by the end, it was different. But at that point in time, he had a good grasp on what his team was.
How about your second D pair? Would you rather have Ferenc Boychuk or what is this? Krug Karla?
Ferenc Boychuk.
Yeah, Ferenc Boychuk.
Right?
Yeah.
Yes. Absolutely.
Yeah, they were good.
Absolutely, I'd rather have those.
Yeah. There's some similarity, like, and I'd say some loosely. Ferenc and Krug, both undersized guys that play with a little attitude, you know, but Boychuk was just farther along. He was, again, they were better then.
We're sort of combining here, but again, just work with me. You'd rather have Peverly, Kelly, Ryder, those sort of players on your third wing, or Coyle, Johansson, and the quiet one?
The Coyle, Johansson, and the quiet one.
I'll tell you, it's close, but that Kelly-Peverly line back then was really good.
Oh, it really helped you.
Yeah, they were really good. It's close, though. And in fact, I would say, like, that is eerily close. I mean, you got a couple of guys that came in at the deadline in both cases. They built the third line both times on the flag, pretty much is what they did. You know, the Fribble crew was there all year long for all intents and purposes. But Kelly and Peverly were both deadline additions. Back then, they were both deadline additions. Like, and they were good players. And they made contributions in the postseason, too. Like, we forget that. You go back and look, Kelly had a good postseason that year. And you know, Peverly was a good player for him.
Is this a great Bruins team? Is this better than it was 6 years ago?
See, I say no, but it doesn't have to be.
8 years ago? Of course it doesn't have to be. I'm just...
Yeah.
It's talk radio. This is an exercise.
I say no.
Maz, you used to talk about that team like that window was going to be open for them for like 8 years, and it should have been had they hung on to Sagan and it played out the way that we all thought it was going to be. So, comparatively, no. That team was greater. It had more upside. But I think this is a potentially great Bruins team. They pull this off, yeah. They're one of the great Bruins teams, and it'll be mostly because of Tuukka Rask.
So I was, you know, just dorking out to the Bruins today at home. So I did this exercise 2011 now, and I think that 11-13 team was better. I do,
but they should have been a wagon for years.
Yeah, and I just think, I mean, I just think, you know, Krejci, maybe, you know, Krejci was maybe better than Bergeron at that time, and Claude used Bergeron differently. He was really more of a defensive guy, and Cassidy's really opened up Bergeron's offensive game. So, like, there's some variance to it. But I just think that the Krejci Bergeron in their prime, that was...
That, you flip a coin in a lot of ways.
Yeah. So, like, that was good depth. And your first two pairs, I think, are better than your first two pairs now. I think Thomas over Rask, although that's, you know, Rask is catching up there. I think that group's better. But because I'm dorking out, I went back and looked at 88 and 90. Last two times you made the finals as well before this run. Neely, Bork, Moog, Lemelin, that group. Just without looking at it or without thinking about it. Those teams better than this team?
Yeah.
So that one's closer. And I'll tell you why, because I don't think those teams had depth. In fact, those teams were really top-heavy. But their high-end talent was like Hall of Fame high-end talent. You know, again, because you're talking about Bork and Neely, arguably two of the top five best players in their position of all time.
And they ended up having to play like some of the greatest teams in the history of the NHL.
And got their ass kicked.
Right.
But their depth on those teams was not that great.
But if we're comparing them to this Bruins team, then yeah. Those teams were stacked.
Yeah, it was comparable, but their high-end talent was better back then.
That's my knee-jerk reaction, and then when I looked at it today, it's not close. These teams are so much better than those 88 and 90 teams. It's
really?
It's not even funny.
Again, well, you get down to like third, fourth line type stuff?
Well, no. Give me their second line center those years.
Oh, I couldn't even tell you.
Who was it?
I couldn't even tell you.
Maybe Ken Linsman? Brian Propp, maybe Dave Poulin, Bob Carpenter. Remember they brought in those kind of guys?
Sure. Poulin was a good player here.
Eventually, it was Oates and then Juneau for a couple of years. That's nice depth, but they didn't go to the finals those years. That was 92, 93. It was as you got on a little farther.
And they're losing to those Penguins teams.
They lost to the Penguins.
That are some of the greatest teams in the NHL, in the history of the NHL.
Once you get past, I'm sorry, Bork, Neely, and Janney, and I'm just looking at the 88, 90 teams that went to the finals. The subsequent teams, the Oates teams, never went to the finals.
I even throw Janney out, but
the,
go.
The oh, Oates like teams that. Never went to the finals. So Janney, right, I just put him on there because
he played with Neely.
What, Bork, Neely, and then what? Bob Joyce, Ken Linsman, Steve Casper, Jeff Courtnall, Bob Sweeney.
Third liner.
Keith Crowder, Middleton at the very end, Randy Burridge, Poulin Propp, Bob Carpenter, Dave Christian. Who was their second D pair in those years? Do you remember?
Even begin to tell you.
Bob Beers?
Beersy was never on the second pair, but guys like Gary Galley, Don Sweeney.
I remember Galley, yeah.
Who was their second best defense? Remember their second best defenseman?
I couldn't even tell you.
Glenn freaking Wesley.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Those teams, I'm sorry, kind of sucked.
Yeah, Glenn Wesley, who in some life somewhere is related to Dougie Hamilton.
What? Is he really?
No, I'm just saying to me he was a similar kind of player.
You tried a joke there, and I'm not prepared for any sort of jokes or anything.
Sorry, not allowed, yeah.
Those 88-90 teams? Bork? Okay, so if
Bork and Neely are of all the teams you just described, they're the two best players.
Oh, I was just going to ask you that. Neely or Bergeron?
Neely.
Yeah, Neely.
At his peak? Neely. Neely was a... Mike, again, I just said this a second ago.
As a career.
Neely. He's in the Hall of Fame.
No. But
Bergeron's headed there.
Bergeron's had a longer career. His body of work has been more consistent. But Neely's height...
Bergeron or Neely?
Neely.
Neely.
Just asking.
Neely.
Okay.
Neely is, again, Neely and Bork are among the five greatest players in their position ever.
If you draft those teams, Bork 1, Neely 2, and I'm talking about this team and 88-90.
Correct.
Give me picks 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. I bet they're all from these teams.
I would agree.
Yeah. I mean, who would you put up? Does Janney belong anywhere near that conversation?
No, please. Okay, God, stop with Janney.
I'm just telling you, I had to put him there.
Oh, I know, but the whole Janney thing, the people who remember, I remember Craig Janney as being soft.
Oh, he was brutally soft. And Oates absolutely would be in the list, but he was there. He came
later.
You didn't go to the finals those years. You got tripped up in the East bracket before you ever got to the finals. With Oates never made the finals with you. So then who do you... Wesley?
No.
I mean, Galley? Yeah, you tell me. Okay, Andy Moog or Tuukka Rask? Lemelin or Tuukka Rask?
Rask.
Rask.
Those 88-90 teams... That once you got past the first, and this was their problem, they wouldn't spend
correct
on anyone.
You just beat me to it. This was the problem with the teams back then. They had the high-end talent, but they never supported them.
So these teams are better than those teams. But in my mind's eye, I'm like you. I glorify 88, 90, and Bork and Neely and those years. Oh, my God, what a team. Look at the team. It's not much of a team. So anyway, that's where we're starting. Bruins. Is this even a good team right here? I mean, it's unfair. Is this a great team? Your calls on this topic right after these words.
The Sports Hub.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. MA.org.
There's always a reason for better health, and here's Carlo with his.
My program with Awaken 180 actually started when my daughter was born, and at that time, I was over 300 pounds. I felt I owed it to her to better myself and my family, of course. And I'll never forget, it was my fourth week. I came in, and my goals for that week were not met. And they found the positive in everything, and that was the biggest thing for me. Awaken 180 has provided me confidence, not only in my day-to-day eating, it's my day-to-day role as a father, as a friend. And that's something that for the longest time, I didn't have.
The benefits are endless after losing weight with Awaken 180. Carlo dropped his 84 pounds, and he did it in under 4 months. Scale results, life results, with the solution for weight loss online at awaken180weightloss.com.
Felger and Mass.
I love it.
You were right, Mass.
I just keep loving it more and more.
Bore my listeners to death.
I finally feel alive.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sounds good.
And look at all that space for Carolina. And he shoots it back in between the net and Rask.
Slavin dusts it off. Wrister deflected. Rask the save. Rebound. Rask, what a stop. And then he stops the second opportunity from Niederreiter.
He's been dialed in since April 8th or 10th, whatever it is, since we started. He's been excellent. You know, he really hasn't had a poor night. He's had a couple that were, I'd say, above average, and the rest have been very good. Tonight was first period was excellent.
David Backus pounding on it. And Carolina Hurricanes pounding on Backus. Near circle, Nordstrom. Center's deflected. They score! Krys Wagner! Krejci left circle, Marchand pulls it to the slot. Backhand, they score! Marchand with a backhand shot. A power play goal! 2-0 Bruins.
Falk goes across, here's Dahan. His shot scores! Calvin Dahan! Finds a hole, finally, in Tuukka Rask. Far side is sent out in front, and Stoll's deflection denied by Rask as he squeezed the right arm to the midsection so it wouldn't squirt through.
I felt good for many, many months.
Tuukka Rask gobbled up that last shot from Sebastian Aho. The Bruins now take a 3-0 lead in this series.
Come into the locker room after this win, and the hunger is definitely there. No one's really that happy about the game because we know we haven't really done anything yet.
I mean, I think we just have such a special group here. And Krys Wagner selling out there and blocking a shot. I mean, there aren't big enough hugs for that guy right now. He's feeling it. What he did was so selfless, and I think that's just the kind of team that we have.
Good spot to be in, but far from being over. No, obviously, we're happy with getting the win tonight, but again, we got to let it go. It's all about the next one.
Look back at game three, game four tonight here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Bruins going for the sweep and chance to go back to the Stanley Cup Finals. Doesn't happen very often, although 3 times in 9 years, not too shabby. Is this a great Bruins team? Or are they a beneficiary of good circumstance? All the best teams in the league were blown out before they got to them. Or their goalie just get hot. It's just circumstantial, or this actually one of these teams? They belong on the list as the 2011-2013 team. What do you think? Matt in Malden, go ahead.
Yeah, no, Tony, this is definitely the weakest take ever. How are you just going to answer with no? This is absolutely a great team, great Bruins team. Excuse me, you definitely have at least 5 guys on this team right now that are going to be known for their careers as Bruins. I mean, Bergeron, Krejci, Marchand, you know, you hope Pastrnak will be on that list, Chara, and some of these young guys like McAvoy, Carlo, you know, DeBrusque potentially.
Well, so listen,
could be known for that.
Okay, but the fact that they're going to be known as lifelong Bruins doesn't mean anything to me.
Means zero.
I mean, there's plenty of lifelong Bruins who were just really nice players, but not great players, and doesn't, you know, weren't part of great teams. That doesn't mean anything to me. I think as time goes on, Maz, I mean, again, I mean, I just did it today. In our mind's eye, we glorify the late 80s, early 90s with the Neely-Bork teams. These teams are much better. These teams are much better. I'm sorry, they are. They're much better. And as time goes on, we may get, you know, more and more appreciation. I mean, Hall of Famers? You know, you say Neely-Bork are Hall of Famers? Bergeron's going to be a Hall of Famer.
Okay.
Chara is a first ballot, first five-minute Hall of Famer.
Okay.
And I've said this a couple times, and I'm going to start to look at it now. Tuukka Rask might be a Hall of Famer. I'm just looking at some of the goalies recently. When I say, you know, recently inducted the Pro Hockey Hall of Fame. You know that Ed Belfour is a Hall of Famer?
I did not know that.
Okay. Eddie the Eagle's a Hall of Famer. Very good player. But, I mean, that ain't, you know, that ain't Martin Brodeur we're talking about. And he gets in. So I think Tuukka Rask might be a Hall of Famer. I think Brad Marchand, if he does it another 5, 6, 7, 8 years, might be a Hall of Famer. And Pastrnak, McAvoy might have a chance. I mean, I think you'll look back and say, well, these teams certainly had more players than those other teams.
Okay, all I'm telling you is that right now, even calling Bork and Neely Hall of Famers undersells them. They were arguably two of the you know, each was among the five greatest players at his position of all time. Maybe.
No, Bork, definitely.
Right? Like, really, who are we talking about? Or Larry Robinson?
Okay, but you know what? I think Bergeron's closer to Neely in terms of overall impact and winning than you're giving credit for. If I'm drafting the series, if I'm drafting it, that old Bruins team versus this one, Bork's number one. And if you don't have Bork number one, you're stupid. So Bork's number one. And then it's Bergeron or Neely. And I'm sorry, that's a lot closer than you're giving it credit for.
I'm just telling you, Neely is one of the five greatest right wings that's ever played the game. Guy was an absolute freaking force.
Couldn't stay healthy.
Okay, but again, that's not what the question is. The question was at his peak at that time in those years. And he was a monster.
Paul in New Hampshire on tonight. What do you got, Paul?
Hey, how you guys doing this afternoon?
Good. What do you got?
Hey, my question is to you. Basically, would you like to see – I'd love them to win tonight, but they're such on fire. I'd rather have them come home rather than sit on ice for who knows how long waiting to who they're going to play next.
10, 11 days if they win tonight. 10, 11 days. So let's lose so you can be fresher or not have as long of a layoff.
It's cocky, isn't
it? When you start doing that, that's when you are port with a capital P. I am sorry.
I mean, that's how I feel.
You can't do that.
That is cocky. Like, oh, you can win anytime you want. So I'm going to sit here in one breath and tell you that I don't think this is a quote-unquote great team. And then in the other breath tell you, yeah, throw game four. Throw it and stretch this baby out to six and then close it.
Close them out and try and have some hard practices. That's the plan. Kevin in Brighton, would you take this Bruins team or the one in 2011-2013?
You know, it's close. I think this year's team has a little bit more depth with that Coyle Johansson line. I'll take them over an antique Jaromir Jagr on your second wing. But I think what the real deciding factor is, in 2013, your seventh player award, Dougie Hamilton. Huh. I want no part of that guy. I'll take this team every day of the week and twice on Sunday.
Okay, so 2013, Dougie Hamilton got hurt early in the playoffs and didn't finish. But yes, so when you got to 2013, Sagan and Hamilton were having a little bit more of a prominent role, which, I don't know, gave you depth. Sagan on your second line, which was the Bergeron line, is sort of the way you treated it back then. I don't know. That's pretty good. Would you rather have what, again, if Krejci, Lucic, Horton was your quote-unquote first line. Bergeron, Marchand, Sagan was your quote-unquote second line.
The top six, 1 through 6, was better than it is now.
Yes, I think so.
And the top D, 1 through 4, was better than it is now.
Now, that's not how they all played. Sagan played like such garbage. They had to demote him, and Jagr started getting that time, right? And again, I think the closer you got to the end there, Lucic was cashed and whatever, you know, so there's a lot of grades to it, but I mean, I think the D pairings were better then. I think Chara was closer to his prime, and that Chara-Seidenberg pairing, really, I mean,
elite.
Devastating. Defensively, for sure. And then their second pair was Ferenc Boychuk. Would you rather have Ferenc Boychuk or Krug Carlo?
Ferenc Boychuk.
I mean, pretty clearly, I think.
See, and the caller also said, well, they're deeper because of the third line. Like, people forget. They've already forgotten. I was just looking it up, so I called it up. Chris Kelly had 13 points that postseason.
Kelly, Peverly, and it was Ryder for the first one. I can't remember what it, you know, it's, and again, don't hold me to exactly what their line combinations were, but those were sort of that spot, Kelly, Peverly, those guys.
Peverly had 12 points that postseason. Kelly had 13. Ryder had 17.
Was Ryder there in 13? No.
I'm looking at the 11 team now.
2011.
Because, again, to me, the 11 team was better than the 13 team, because by the time they get to 13, they weren't quite as deep. But their nucleus was the same, right? But that people forget that 11 team, that team was deep. They were really, really deep.
And they also...
As we look at the Boston Bruins...
Don't do this. Please don't do this.
The first line with Lucic on the left, Brad Marchand at center, Nathan Horton on the right side. Line number two, they have gone with Daniel Paille on the left side, David Krejci at center, Mark Recchi on the right side.
Hold on, please. I'm sorry. What are these lines? You got to give me that.
Are fluid.
Thank you. They're fluid. Yes.
By and large, this is what they go with.
Serious question. Do you think Ted, love you, mean it, had ever heard of these people before he was reading them off the page right
no,
there?
No. I mean,
ever heard of Danny Paille?
No. In fact, I can guarantee you that he had the globe in his left hand at that time with the glasses pulled down over the front of his nose.
What's wrong with that, by the way?
And he had, you don't have the paper there and you know it. And he had a sandwich on his right.
Third line features Sean Thornton on the left side, Chris Kelly at center, Michael Ryder on the right side.
Uh-huh.
And then the very valuable and versatile Gregory Campbell on the left
Gregory
side
Campbell.
Can also play some center.
Yeah,
I think Rich Peverly's been a good player.
Uh-huh.
He centers that fourth line, and they use different people, including Jordan Caron on the right side.
Yes,
tell me about the defenseman.
Zdeno Chara, one of the best in the business. Please. All right, stop.
Defenseman.
Okay.
Dennis Seidenberg.
Please, Ted. We got it. Thank you so much. Coming up
Johnny
next.
Johnny Boychuk, explosive shot.
At least he pronounced it right. Coming up next, hashtag replay doesn't work. It still doesn't
work. And then they use Andrew Ferentz, Thomas Caberly, and Adam McQuaid, and Tim Thomas is going to be the goaltender for the rest of the season.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or Gambling Help MA.org.
There's always a reason for better health, and here's Carlo with his.
My program with Awaken 180 actually started when my daughter was born, and at that time, I was over 300 pounds. I felt I owed it to her to better myself and my family, of course. And I'll never forget, it was my fourth week. I came in, and my goals for that week were not met. And they found the positive in everything, and that was the biggest thing for me. Awaken 180 has provided me confidence, not only in my day-to-day eating, it's my day-to-day role as a father, as a friend. And that's something that for the longest time, I didn't have.
The benefits are endless after losing weight with Awaken 180. Carlo dropped his 84 pounds, and he did it in under 4 months. Scale results, life results, with the solution for weight loss online at awaken180weightloss.com.
Event.
I just don't know what to say anymore.
Wrong, sorry.
It's Felger and Maz.
They could use a good ass kicking.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
In front of the net, the Nyquist, and they've scored. Carlson on the doorstep puts it in, and the San Jose Sharks win in overtime. 5-4 with 14:37 to go in overtime.
It might be a hand pass here, Curbs.
Yeah, but if they didn't see it, they can't review it.
They're going to talk it over. I did see a hand drop. Jordan Bennington's aggravated. Is that a reviewable play?
Nope.
Timo, it's a hand pass, 100%.
They're going to call it a goal, and the Blues just got toasted. A hand pass by San Jose, missed by Mark Jonette, Dan O'Rourke, Johnny Murray, and Matt McPherson. These two guys, they pointed to center ice, and now they don't know what to say. And they're going to call it a goal, and the Blues just fell victim to another horrific job by NHL officiating. Braden Schenk slaps the glass. And the NHL at this point in time has to be absolutely embarrassed by yet another officiating crew in the Stanley Cup playoffs.
You guys see this?
Yes.
I had a hard time going to bed after this last night.
Oh, I was watching real time myself.
I was livid. Hearing that again, I'm like instantly pissed again.
Hashtag replay doesn't work. And that's, you know, this is what I mean by that is it hasn't ended the controversy. It doesn't get it right. It doesn't enhance the viewing experience. Now, if they had replay and you could replay that rule last night, they would have gotten it right. And so, but that's when I say hashtag replay doesn't work. What I mean is it has not improved the overall experience. It certainly hasn't ended the controversy. So again, if you weren't watching, the team that has a horseshoe stuck so far up their rectums, they're choking on it. The San Jose Sharks.
The cockroach asterisk sharks going forward is how I'm going to refer to them.
Seriously, though.
You can't kill them and you put an asterisk next to them.
I hate this team now.
They score an overtime goal to go up 2-1 in their West Finals on an obvious, blatant hand pass down by the St. Louis net that none of the four refs on the ice saw, and they couldn't review because hand passes are not reviewable. And so here we go again with another outrageous example of us and in sports and hockey in particular, circumcising the mosquito on some of these insanely stupid things that they go replay and not correcting the obvious mistakes like that last night or the goal against the Bruins against Columbus when the puck went into the netting. On what planet? I'll give you your say here in a second, Murray. On what planet? And I did go back and finally look at it. Can you review that offsides that Colorado had in the previous round where the bench door, the contractor and the builder of that arena just happened to put the door a couple inches inside the blue line, and the guy exiting is just less than an inch inside the blue line going into the bench because that's just where they happened to place the door, and he had nothing to do with the play. And that is reviewable. And that goal comes off the board, but that thing last night stays. How is that?
It makes no sense. It makes absolutely no sense. And I don't understand it. And so now the thing that has to happen, and I'm not saying anything that some other people already haven't said between last night and now, they have to review every goal. Because they're not going to get rid of replay. We've walked too far through that door. So what has to happen in the NHL in this offseason, they have to change it, and they have to review every single goal. They have to.
Which is just... Oh, so I'm the person that says more replay is not the answer.
But in this case, it has to be.
Less replay is the answer. Wiping out altogether, and then we're just back to the ref blew the call, which we can all wrap our head around, and that's just is what's going to happen. The thing that drives you insane is that they have the cameras there, and anyone watching, and most of them saw it in real time, but anyone watching without the benefit of even slow motion replay could tell you in 1 second, one review, hand pass. And they can't do it. So that drives you insane that you can review that stupid offsides, but you can't review that thing last night. So get rid of it altogether and let's just put it back on the refs. And they suck, you know, get a pair of glasses, blah, blah, blah. And just we'll get back to ragging on the refs. And that's it. It's a very cleaner, much cleaner experience than this thing, this train wreck. And so here's what should have happened last night. Here's what should have, and I can't believe these leagues don't do it, and I think some do. Maybe hockey just isn't sophisticated enough. And that is, Toronto is still in their ear. They're still, I guess they didn't reach for the headsets and they don't have earpieces, but they should. But either way, they should go on the headset to pretend, to ask, can we review this even though you know, just whatever, get on the freaking horn. And Toronto then says to the group of four imbeciles standing around, and they say,
guys, it was a hand pass. Just say you saw the hand pass.
You linesman at the red line.
Say you saw the hand pass. It was clearly a hand pass. Say you got together, they saw it, and call it. Click.
Like, that's what should happen.
In fact, before you even call, huddle. Make it look good.
Right,
huddle.
Exactly.
Make it look like you were discussing the play, then get on the headset and say, yeah, we saw the play first. We wanted to call Toronto to ask them what we should do.
And I'm going to tell you, in football, I know this happens. And I'm not going to reveal sources or, you know, and other sports where there's replay and like maybe even lower level replay where there's just a truck. And the truck has communication with the umpire or the official or the ref, as the case may be, and it happens. I think it and football, I think it happens because they're all those guys are mic'd through to New York and through to the or the replay official upstairs, whatever. They're all mic'd. So you get together, and in that huddle, someone in your ear says,
"Guys, it was a hand pass. Just say you saw the hand pass."
And then you break, and then you go to the bed coach. You say, "Our linesman over here saw the hand pass. We conferred. Someone saw it. Hand pass."
Yeah, that's common sense. But then they would have to admit their failures and probably cost themselves going forward in terms of getting in these games during the playoffs. So they're going to cost themselves essentially their job. So they're not going to do that. And that's one of the things that really bothered me about this. Not that it was the ridiculous part that it's not reviewable. The attitudes of those a-holes. Did you see one of them shoo a Blues player?
Yeah.
That's where I lost it. That's where I wanted to see Binnington or Shen or really anyone on the Blues take their stick and club that guy like a seal.
We don't endorse that, Murray.
I'll go on my own on that because I've had it with this.
On
I've
either
absolutely
front.
Had it with this.
You just offended humans and animal right activists.
Say a wet sausage, Murray, then you're safe.
Yeah, hit him in the face with a wet sausage.
I know I'm not alone there.
No, we need to get rid of the seals. I'm fully in favor of that. I don't know if we need to club them.
So, but the thing is like you're always going to get the officials' arrogance in every sport. You're always going to get that. The whole point is we can live with all that other crap if the calls are right. Like, you know, and you now, in theory, have a mechanism in place to get the right call, except that this isn't reviewable.
I mean, it took me a while to catch up and watch the Colorado offsides in that game 7. I mean, that's comical. It's comical. That is reviewable, but the thing last night is not.
Mm-hmm.
On what planet?
Or the puck going out of the playing area.
On what planet? On what planet?
Zippy.
I mean... And even short of that, whether it's the rules or not, can you just use some common sense and can someone get in their ear and say, "Guys, it was a hand pass. Say you saw the hand pass," and that's it. You can just do that too, you know.
I mean, they really should. They should all have earpieces. You know, the IFBs that a news anchor would use.
I mean, it's so easy.
They really should. I mean,
if freaking Joe Hags can, you know, waltz around the stadium with the thing, why can't the ref? If we have constant communication with Hags, which we don't even want, why can't we have it with the freaking ref who has the game on his shoulders?
You got me. I don't get it. I don't get it. I don't get how this can happen. And what I find stunning about it, too, is that, like, we're on the verge now of the finals. And there are still people out there that say, well, you can't change it until next year. Why not?
They should convene tonight.
Exactly. Like, this is the part I don't get.
You've got cameras everywhere. You've got the supervisor officials is in the building. The guys are in Toronto. Everyone's everywhere. You got 100 eyes on this thing. Why can't you just activate them?
I mean, and I have to believe the teams would want that to happen because they want the right call.
Oh, give me a break.
I mean, you're telling me that even San Jose, as much as they benefited, it could just as easy be against them the next time. They want it done right, too.
Not this year. Nothing's going against
that
San Jose this year.
That team has a horseshoe stuck so far up, it's wrecked them. It isn't even funny.
Yeah, they've gotten away with murder during these playoffs. As an aside, though, Logan Couture terrifies me. Absolutely terrifying.
The whole team should terrify you.
Yeah, they do. They have a lot of talent.
Except their goaltending, which I'm going to get to later. But I'm just terrified of the hockey gods, Lady Luck, Destiny's Darlings, like that thing. This team should have died 3 or 4 different deaths already. And they're still here. And that should scare you more than anything. Never mind that they've got a ton of talent. So anyway, hashtag replay doesn't work. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. And it's just because people suck. I mean, it's just so simple. It's just so simple to get in the guy's ear and have an earpiece there and just communication. It hit his hand. It was a hand pass. Drop the puck. God. And stop looking at the pop-up slide and the ticky-tack offside and all the millions of examples. Let's replay spotting the ball on a 3rd-and-1 with the Jets and the Dolphins in the first quarter of a game in October. Let's look at that. Why don't we? Let's spend 8 minutes on that, you idiots. But we're not going to look at that thing last night.
Or the puck going out of the playing area.
You know, let's chuck the puck into the 5th row, but we can't look at that either. Why? Everyone just looked at it. Everyone just saw it. The entire country just saw it.
I know, really. It is. It's you wonder about how this came to be. Like, how is it that... Again, you can review things that you can barely see under a microscope, but the puck going into the crowd is not on the table.
That's just... Okay. Your thoughts on this, our
That's
hockey...
That's a non-starter!
And our hockey conversation and a giveaway, something for free for you next.
This is Felger and Mass on 98.5. The Sport.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or Gambling Help. MA.org.
There's always a reason for better health, and here's Carlo with his.
My program with Awaken 180 actually started when my daughter was born, and at that time, I was over 300 pounds. I felt I owed it to her to better myself and my family, of course. And I'll never forget, it was my fourth week. I came in, and my goals for that week were not met. And they found the positive in everything, and that was the biggest thing for me. Awaken 180 has provided me confidence, not only in my day-to-day eating, it's my day-to-day role as a father, as a friend. And that's something that for the longest time, I didn't have.
The benefits are endless after losing weight with Awaken 180. Carlo dropped his 84 pounds, and he did it in under 4 months. Scale results, life results, with the solution for weight loss online at awaken180weightloss.com.
I hate jokes. We're not taking jokes.
That joke's blue.
It's Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
It's non-reviewable. The referees, once they say it's a goal, they can't change their minds because they didn't see it. And unfortunately, that's a terrible call, and St. Louis, got hosed right there.
That is a tough, tough call. And that's what will be changed, I believe, Barry. There's all this talk about the eye in the sky. You know what it comes down to for me? It's the same way the NFL is adjusted. What's a catch and what's not a catch? Yeah. If 100 screaming people with no audio, drunk in a bar, watch the TV and all say that's got to be a catch, that's the same thing. Everybody can see that's a hand pass. That can't be a goal. But because the NHL can't review that or replay that, that stands and that's a mistake. Yeah,
I like the smell test. Make the right call. At the end of the day, have the right call decided.
But you have to have the tools in place.
You have to have the rules. You have to have the rules. This was a hand pass.
They have the tools. Get in his ear and say, one of you saw it. Period, story over. He easily could have fixed that. You got a feel for the Blues. Let me hear Craig Berube, the coach. Here's the coach in the post game on that particular play, Jimmy.
Do you think that was a hand pass, and did you get any explanation?
No explanation.
Did you think it was a hand pass?
Well, what do you guys think?
Yes.
Okay, then don't ask me. There's no reason to ask me.
Well, we want to hear what you have to say.
Nothing. I have nothing to say about it.
It's apparently the GM was... He pulled a Harry Sinden. Harry used to do this all the time. The GM ran, got down in the tunnel and was pounding on the official's door.
Yeah.
Pounding on the official's door. Same with garbage. Calling him garbage.
I mean, that was the old... That's the origin of the old Koharski
line,
that
right? Wasn't Harry. That was Schoenfeld. Either way. Yeah, but that thing. You know, that sort of thing. That's what was going on in the bowels there in St. Louis. Oh, my God. I mean... How about Erik Karlsson, the guy who scored the game-winning goal, the defenseman there who scored the game-winning goal? He almost turns it into a mockery. If I'm the Blues and I hear this cut, I have steam coming out of my ears. Go ahead.
Well, we weren't playing handball, were we? So we're playing hockey. I think, we deserve to win this game. And at the end of the day, I think that neither team, drew the shortest stick on any of the calls out there. So it was a fair game.
Okay. Take the 5-minute major and pull his hair. Pull his hair and pull him down to the
ice. Seriously, though, right? Like, seriously.
He's making a mockery of it.
Oh, yeah, seriously. I mean, someone should just line him up and knock him through the glass. And I didn't say in the head.
We're not clubbing baby seals.
No. Just line up and knock him right through the glass.
I hate this team more by the day.
Okay, so what?
I really do.
Why do you hate San Jose?
Because they shouldn't be there.
Okay, but
cockroach asterisk sharks. That's who they are. They shouldn't be there. They should have been out a couple of rounds ago. They keep getting gifted these goals and gifted these penalties so that they can advance. That was such garbage last night. They shouldn't have got past Vegas. I hate this team.
So that
and they kind of terrified
that Karlsson comment, it makes him detestable.
It does, that comment alone. But if you were to say to me, in general, I told you I want to see the Sharks. I think that would be a good series. I think they generally have some older, gritty, veteran guys that are good players.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you know.
Pavelski, Thornton.
Yeah, Couture. Like, you know, they got some guys that know how to play. And, you know.
And they're getting every break in the book.
And then some. Holy crap. How many breaks can a team get? The good news, if you're a Bruins fan, is that the Bruins pulled one out of their butt in 2013 and they lost in the finals against Toronto. Right? That game 7. And
There
wasn't an official's call per se, but nonetheless, they completely pulled one out of their backside.
So you're saying it catches up to you?
Maybe.
Okay, giveaway coming. Jeff and Merrimack. Go ahead, Jeff.
Good. You? I am... After watching it last night, and then I watched it over and over again, correct me if I'm wrong about the rules, but if after it was obvious hand pass, but after it, if it hits somebody else, isn't it waved off and play continues?
It didn't hit Bomeister.
It didn't.
No, it didn't.
But watch it. If you watch it again, Mike, the puck takes an obvious pickup in momentum.
I've watched
it coming down, and it does hit him.
I don't think it does, Jeff. I've watched it a million times.
It goes directly to Nyquist. I'm telling you, just watch that.
Let me tell you something.
I think if they went to replay, that's what they would have said.
Okay. At one angle, it looks like it might have brushed his shin pad. It didn't. And believe you me, the league is catching so much crap. If it hit his shin pad, you do not think that the league would put out that video today saying, look, even if we went to it, it would have stood because it hit Bomeister's shin pad.
Went right to Nyquist. Nyquist made the pass,
yes,
right?
Yes, exactly.
Went right to Nyquist. It didn't hit anybody else. It was a hand pass. There's no gray area. Okay, let's not get stupid about this. It went right to Nyquist, who passed it to Carlson, who scored. It was a hand pass. There's no gray area. San Jose has the world's biggest horseshoe jammed right up its butt. Right up there. It's unbelievable the luck that team has had. Starting with the Vegas Game 7 and then the last Game 7 and now this. Like, so again. Now,
and even in between that, Colorado disallowed offsides goal.
I mean, so I say they're blessed and they're a good team. I'm not, you know, I don't mean to dump on them for that. But that thing last night in overtime, not reviewable. Oh, that's a disgrace. That is the fact that that can happen in that league is disgraceful.
Let's pick this up on the other side with your hockey calls after I give something to you for free. Caller 10 to the Pride Motor Group contest line, 617-931-0985, will score a pair of tickets for WWE SmackDown Live, returning to the Dunkin' Donuts Center in Providence, May 21st. Don't miss all of your favorite SmackDown superstars. Tickets still available at Ticketmaster.com. Also, you wrestling fans, don't forget to listen to Jimmy's Wrestling Inside the Ropes podcast on 985thesportshub.com and the 985 The Sports Hub app. Good luck on the tickets. No commercials, just the headlines, and we're right back.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. HelplineMA.org.
There's always a reason for better health, and here's Carlo with his.
My program with Awaken 180 actually started when my daughter was born, and at that time, I was over 300 pounds. I felt I owed it to her to better myself and my family, of course. And I'll never forget, it was my fourth week. I came in, and my goals for that week were not met. And they found the positive in everything, and that was the biggest thing for me. Awaken 180 has provided me confidence, not only in my day-to-day eating, it's my day-to-day role as a father, as a friend. And that's something that for the longest time, I didn't have.
The benefits are endless after losing weight with Awaken 180. Carlo dropped his 84 pounds, and he did it in under 4 months. Scale results, life results, with the solution for weight loss online at Awaken180WeightLoss.com.
Be honest, wouldn't you like to play more golf this year? As the State Golf Association for Massachusetts, Mass Golf is ready to help, and they want you to become a member. By joining, you'll automatically get a handicap index from the USGA, access to play exclusive private clubs through Mass Golf events, and a bundle of additional benefits. Best of all, it costs just $55 to join. Visit massgolf.org and make today a golf day.